we gather in the Lord's house on this beautiful Lord's Day. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Amen. Thank you, Bert, for our beautiful prelude this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day on this Lenten Sunday morning. The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful sunny Sunday morning, and so it's good to gather in this place to worship and draw closer to our Savior this day. If you are a first-time guest with us this morning, welcome. Thank you for joining us for worship this day. I would ask that if you have a chance to fill out one of the visitor's cards that's located in the pew in front of you. And then as you leave following the worship service today, just drop it off in the offering plate so we can have a record of your visit with us today. Thank you for those that are joining us this morning online via Facebook Live. Thank you for joining us for worship this day. If you're a first-time viewer online with us this morning, welcome. Thank you for joining us online this morning. I encourage you to send me an email this week. Let me follow up with you and just share about First Baptist Church with you later on this week. I also encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin, use that as a resource for our time of worship this day, but also use it as a resource for ministries coming up in the life of our church. I will start by this morning. I've had a lot of people ask me this morning, are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm answering, I am okay. Yes, Duke lost last night. I am not in grief this morning. My team lost. It is okay. And I will also share with you this morning that somebody in the church after the Carolina won the last time said, well, why didn't you wear your Carolina blue? I said, because I don't want any Carolina blue. That's why. However, I did find in the dark crevices of my closet yet last night after Duke lost a light blue shirt. So I wear this in honor of Carolina winning today. But it will go back in the dark crevices of my closet and you will never see it again until maybe next year. But anyway, it is good to gather in the house, and I joke, all joking aside, it is good to be here. This just a reminder about ministries coming up in the life of our church. Today, this afternoon, we do have handbell practice this afternoon at 3 o'clock. 4 o'clock, we do have our church council meeting this afternoon at 4. For all our ministry team leaders, just a reminder, please be present for that meeting. If you cannot be here for that meeting, identify somebody who can come from your ministry team to be here for that time of meeting this afternoon upstairs in the Truth Seekers classroom. Our adult Bible study, our Lenten study, The Way, will continue this afternoon. It'll actually be at 5 o'clock tonight after our church council meeting, 5 p.m. upstairs in the fellowship hall. This afternoon in session 3, we'll be looking at some of Jesus' stories on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus calming the storm, sometimes the storms that we face in our life. And I think that is very fitting this day as some of the things going on in our world, in our lives today. We'll also be taking a trip in the Holy Land to the Sea of Galilee today. So I encourage you to come at 5 o'clock for our study. You can also watch that study on Facebook Live at 5 p.m. if you would like to, or at some later time. It is always on our Facebook page. This week, we have many other ministry opportunities coming up. Tuesday, our bingo ministry will be taking place at the Golden Year Senior Center at 1:30 p.m. If you would like to go, you can speak to Sandy French, who heads up that ministry. They'll be going at 1:30. And just a reminder that this month, during the month of March, we are stockpiling and collecting items for that ministry that's ongoing here at First Baptist Elon. Many of the items that we need are located in your bulletin. They're listed there, listed also in your March newsletter. So take note of those things that we're collecting, and you can place those in the collection bins that are located around our church. Then on Wednesday of this week, our Circle of Friends group meets. That group is a group that goes out into our community and meets and visits some of our homebound church members. They'll be meeting at 1:45 on Wednesday, and everybody is welcome to come to that. It's a wonderful time of hospitality and greeting, and so that's at 1:45 on Wednesday. And of course, our choir rehearsal is on Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. Gay also wanted me to mention that our fun and fellowship trip for our senior adults or anybody who would like to go to the Joel Lane Museum in Raleigh is coming up on Thursday, March 21st. Make sure you get your name on that list if you're planning on going. Next Sunday is the deadline, but she would sure love to have your name on it this Sunday if you're planning on going on that trip. There's sign-up sheets all located all around the church. There's one in the foyer this morning. We gather here to worship this day. We gather here to bring joy to our time of praise this morning. So let's stand and worship the Lord as we sing praise to Him this day.
Let's worship together.
We bring the sacrifice of praise to the Lord.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 107, reading verses 1 through 3 and 17 through 22. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe, those He gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He sent forth His word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thanks offerings and tell of His works with songs of joy. Every time that we gather to sing songs of joy, it's more than just singing a tune. We're proclaiming the love. We're proclaiming the joy of God. We're proclaiming the works that He did. We're singing our faith. So when we sing, let's sing loud. Let's sing with joy. Let's sing our faith to God. Now let's go to Him in prayer this morning. God of goodness and grace, gather us in Your arms of love this day. Gather us as people of Your goodness and grace. Gather us in worship and prayer that we may be strengthened with faith and courage. Gather us as those who are eager to live and to share Your goodness and grace this day and every day. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is My Life is in You. Let's stand and worship together.
Our Old Testament scripture reading is Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. Hear these words about the Israelites as they were traveling through the wilderness as they were heading to the Promised Land. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. When we think about the things that God does for us on a daily basis, sometimes we think, "God, why not more? We don't recognize the things that he does daily. And sometimes we get our attention drawn to him. As we think about these words and scriptures, as the Israelites had been taken out of Egypt from slavery, and yet they were in the wilderness, then they grumbled. May we be reminded that sometimes we walk in our own wilderness, and sometimes we grumble, but God is right there with us. He's directing us. He's providing for us every single day. May we be reminded that in song, in prayer, and scripture this morning.
Our offertory hymn this morning is In Christ Alone, and we sang this not too many Sundays ago, so I hope you remember it. Let's stand and sing together.
Heavenly Father, as we come here today, we are humbled by how good we have it. Because when we compare the way we live right now to the way so many people on this earth live, we are blessed beyond what we deserve. Lord, so often we toil, we work, we stress about what we can get and how we can use it in our lives. And it's because we forget that we are just stewards of what's yours. We pray, Lord, that we will focus less on us and more on you, and more about what we can do with what we have for your kingdom. So as we reflect on giving, we pray that we wouldn't just make it about money, Lord. It's not just about gratefully giving back to you a portion of what is already yours, but that we would apply it to our lives, that everything you've gifted us with, abilities, talents, whatever, that we would give that gratefully back to you. Thank you for loving us despite who we are. In your Son's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir, for our special music today. As we've been doing during the season of Lent, a time where we're called to draw closer to Christ, to kind of reflect and to bring our wants, our desires, our confessions to God. Again, this morning we'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then I'll just close this in a few moments. But before we go to God in prayer this day, I do want to share a prayer request that comes from the Baptist community, comes from one of our sister Baptist churches in the state of North Carolina. I ask that you pray this morning for the church family of First Baptist Church of Moorhead City this morning. Last Sunday evening, following church, their senior pastor, Reverend Nate Leonard, his wife Sue Ellen, and two of his children were in a horrific car accident following church about 8 o'clock last Sunday night. The family was transported to Greenville, North Carolina, which was the closest trauma unit. And as the week has gone on, the children have recovered and come home from the hospital. Nate has had multiple surgeries and has weeks and months of recovery still to come. He's now out of ICU in a step-down unit, but unfortunately his wife, Sue Ellen, has succumbed to her injuries. She's been placed in palliative care and will not survive. I share that with you because there is a church that is mourning this morning. First Baptist Moorhead City is in deep grief this day. So be in prayer for that community of faith that has been praying for this family, their pastor, and their family this week, but also gathers to worship this morning. I also lift that up because Nate is a dear friend, and he is hurting. It's been a hard week. But there is a God that we embrace who is so much bigger than any hurt, than any sorrow. And in words that Nate shared with us this week, he said, "I know that God has been gripping us and holding us all week long. He's been holding my hand, he's been holding my children's hands, and he's definitely been holding my wife's hands." So we pray for that family this week. But we all have things we bring to God this day. So let's spend a few moments in prayer this morning. And I'll close this in just a moment. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us despite the fallenness of the world. Thank you for being there for us when we come to you with questions, just like the individual, the brother that we're going to look at in just a few moments, who came to you with a question, who came to you asking something, and you addressed him as he needed to be heard. And Father, so many times we come to you with questions, seeking answers, and yet you answer us in ways that we can't even begin to comprehend, but is what we need to hear. Father, thank you. Thank you for being there. And for when we ask those questions of why and how, and you simply embrace us. You simply love us, and you simply guide us. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us individually, corporately as the body of First Baptist Elon, corporately as the greater Christian church, especially this morning for First Baptist Moorhead City, especially for the Leonard family this morning, and so many other families that are hurting this day. Father, thank you for loving us. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Again, let me say thank you for joining us this morning for worship on this Lenten Sunday morning. Today I will be continuing the sermon series that I began during this season of Lent titled Seekers. We've been looking at gospel encounters of individuals seeking out Jesus, and when they sought out Jesus for specific reasons, as a result, their lives were changed by these encounters. In week one, we saw the Jewish leader Nicodemus seeking out Jesus for the truth, and in Jesus' revelation to him, had his life changed to be a follower of the Savior. In week two, we saw the rich man who sought out Jesus for direction, only to walk away when Jesus pointed out the one thing that held him back, the one thing that he valued over Jesus himself, and that was his wealth. Last week, we saw the story of the bleeding woman, an anonymous woman who sought out Jesus for help, and through her faith, only by touching the hem of his robe, she was healed physically, she was healed emotionally, and she was healed spiritually. This morning, we turn to another individual in the gospel whose name we do not know, yet we only know simply one single verse about him. We know the reason why he came seeking Jesus. This morning, we look at the story of the feuding brother who sought him seeking self-justification. Now, let me ask you a question. We all want to be right, right? We want to be right. Now, raise your hand if you would rather be more wrong than right. Look around. Everybody look around. Look around. Do you see any hands raised? Right? We don't like to be wrong. And we don't like to be pointed out when we are wrong, right? Amen? We don't like to be said that we're wrong. And we like to be right. And maybe it was for that general reason that a man by the name of Kelvin Brown, he was a man from New York, filed a claim against the great big corporation Kellogg's for misrepresenting something in regard to the label that came on his favorite breakfast food, which was the strawberry Pop-Tart. In 2020, Brown claimed that Kellogg's was being misleading because the label on his product, his strawberry Pop-Tarts, gave consumers the impression that the fruit filling inside his Pop-Tart only contained strawberries as its fruit ingredient, which it is not. Now, let me ask you a question. How many did you realize that in that fruit strawberry Pop-Tart, raise your hand if you like fruit strawberry Pop-Tarts. That's my go-to strawberry Pop-Tart. When I go to one, now that I have celiac, I can't go to them at all. But anyway, did you realize it's not just strawberry in your strawberry Pop-Tart? Did you realize that? If you read the ingredients, it's not just strawberries in there. Well, Kelvin Brown didn't realize that until he read the ingredients, and he was upset. So he filed a lawsuit against Kellogg saying, "You are misleading us in what you are advertising." Now, the filling, which was at the heart of the case, said that not only does it contain strawberries, it also contained mashed up apples and pears. And this made him upset. So in this ruling, in this court case, the U.S. District Judge named Andrew Carter said that the photo on the Pop-Tart box must be taken in general context. He basically said this. In his decision, Judge Carter said, there is no reasonable consumer that a consumer would expect that only strawberries are the only ingredient. And unfortunately, Mr. Brown, we have to deny your request. We have to deny your filing. And it's okay for Kellogg's to market their Pop-Tarts as they see fit. Well, resident Kelvin Brown wasn't upset. He just wanted someone to be on his side. He just wanted to be right. However, his New York attorney, Spencer Sheehan, wanted something much, much more. You see, his lawyer, Sheehan, since 2008, has brought more than 400 lawsuits targeting large companies like Kellogg's for misleading corporations. 400 lawsuits since 2008. That's a lot of lawsuits. He has desired justification for the actions of these bad corporations. Those words exactly. I want justification for these bad corporations. That word justification is a powerful word. If you define it by Webster's dictionary, it says this. Justification is the action of showing something to be right or reasonable. Justification can be a reason that we seek Jesus. Have you ever sought Jesus for justification? Have you ever sought out Jesus to be right? Have you ever used your faith to be right? There's a tricky balance when we seek out Jesus to try to claim what we say is right. You know, when Jesus approached his disciples, he simply asked them to follow him. However, now when we seek Jesus, when we're seeking out Jesus for something, are we seeking to follow him, or are we asking him to follow us? When you seek Jesus, are you following him, or are you wanting him to follow you? That's where justification comes in. Our reasons for seeking Jesus may not be pure. It may be even selfish. After all, it feels really good to have Jesus on our side, right? It's that ultimate card. It's that ultimate trump card. This is the story of the feuding brother seeking self-justification. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. The words will be displayed on the screen behind me as well. You can also turn to your Bibles, which are in the pew in front of you. Now, Jesus is in the middle of a number of lessons that he is teaching his disciples and his closest followers. He's in the midst of a long series of lessons. And he comes to this point. And in the middle of these life lessons, a person from the crowd, all we know is that he is a brother, an anonymous brother, speaks out to Jesus to try to get him on his side. Now, most of the time when this passage of Scripture is preached on, the focus of this passage is usually on the parable that Jesus speaks after the question that this brother asked. But this morning, we're going to focus on the question instead of the parable. But I'm going to read the whole passage as a part of it. So reading Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crop." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God.'" So we hear the story of a certain man who approached Jesus. This man had a dispute with his brother. He asked Jesus to help in the arbitration process. "Jesus, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Now, we do not get any more details about this family situation other than that simple fact. We do not know any of the practical details that has occurred between the two brothers. The point is simply this. The brother is trying to employ Jesus' credibility and Jesus' influence to settle a dispute favorably for himself, favorably for this brother. He is trying to, what we would call in psychological circles, triangulate Jesus into this family disagreement. He's trying to bring Jesus into the family for a second and put him on his side. Now, Jesus is a person of influence, and this man wants to use Jesus to help him reassure his brother into action. He wants him to pressure him into giving him this part of the inheritance. We do not know this brother's name. We do not know the other's brother's name. However, I do think that we could easily put our names in their places. Either the brother asking the question or the brother that's being referred to. This story reminds us that the motivation behind our faithful response needs careful consideration. And that's what Lent is all about. Lent is about careful consideration about our spiritual walk with God. We're called to examine ourselves. Now, throughout history, faith has been used to further personal or even national benefit. First, faith has been used to keep others in their place. For far too long, biblical arguments have been made to keep women submissive and without power. For far, far too long. Second, biblical arguments have been used to justify great social evils. Let's take slavery, for example. The reasoning went something a little like this. African people were descendants of Noah's son, Ham. They, therefore, lived under the curse of Ham, and that is why they were enslaved. Now, you might think that sounds ridiculous. That's the argument that was used back in slavery time. Even within our American Baptist history, during the days of slavery, biblical arguments on the topic of slavery was split down the Mason-Dixon line. And unfortunately, we were on the wrong side of that line because south of the line justified the institution of slavery with that very single argument I just told you. That's our history, folks. That's how faith can be used in the wrong way. And it still is today. And if you don't believe me, I won't finish that statement. Biblical scholars and Christians today need to be really careful when we use our religiousness to justify our actions and our words. Now, when it comes to Scripture, there are two ways to interpreting the Bible. There's two basic ways. These two ways should be understood as any believers as we seek to read and follow God's word, which is what we're called to do. The first way is called exegesis. E-X-E-G-E-S-I-S. Now, exegesis is the right way to read the Bible. It is the positive way of approaching the Bible. Now, in exegesis, we consider the context of the Bible, the biblical text before us, and what it is trying to say to us. We try to read out the message of the text and apply its message to our lives. This is exegesis, the right way. The second way, however, which is called eisegesis, E-I-S-E-G-E-S-I-S, and I say those words for those who take notes, who can look it up a little bit later, is the wrong way. Exegesis is right. Eisegesis is wrong. Eisegesis is the negative way of approaching God's word. In eisegesis, we encounter the text with our own opinions and our own worldview. We interpret the text from our own attitudes and judgments. In eisegesis, we read into the text rather than drawing knowledge out of the text. It's proof texting. I can find absolutely anything I want in the Bible if I look hard enough. You can too. But that's not right. Because that's eisegesis. Eisegesis uses the Bible in order to justify our own personal perspective and actions as right. It uses the Bible as a club to condemn actions and positions on those that we disagree with. The feuding brother in this passage that we just wrote, in this passage, is trying to basically eisegete Jesus. Isn't that kind of funny? He's trying to eisegete the one we're called to follow in the first place. Unfortunately, too many times throughout history, we have examples of individuals who have corrupted God's word, corrupted Christianity in its name by this negative practice. This is why Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, "Work out your faith with fear and trembling." He wasn't scared. He wasn't telling the Philippians to be scared. He says, just saying, to be careful when we approach God's Word. St. Ignatius also knew how slippery our human motivations can be. He created a spiritual discipline, a daily spiritual discipline out of Scripture, which is known as what is called the daily exemen. The daily exemen is a technique of prayerful reflection of the events of the day in order to detect God's presence and discern His direction for us. So at the end of each day, as Christians, we revisit the events of what has happened during that day, and we filter it through God's Word and God's presence and His influence in our lives. As we consider them, those events, we pay special attention to our emotions that we've had during that day. What are we feeling as these events and interactions have unfolded? Do they lead to peace? Are we feeling nervous? Are we embarrassed? These emotions will reveal to us our thoughts and our actions, and they'll draw us closer to God. They'll draw us closer to Christ, which is what we should be trying to do every single day, not just on Sundays. That is the ultimate goal. That's the goal of the season of Lent, is to draw closer to Christ, to move closer to Him and repent of those things that lead us away from Him. But that's not the only tool. There's another tool that we can do. We're all familiar probably with the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments can function as a mirror for us. As we look into them, we see reflected an image of ourselves and of our inner motivations. You shall have no other gods before me. We've heard that before. That declarative statement tells us that God is our chief and our ultimate concern. Gaze into the mirror of that commandment. Is there something else in my life that I hold more dearly than God? Is there something that I yearn to have and to hold more than the God who creates and sustains me? Jesus urged this man, this brother, who approached Him for self-justification, to consider the treasures that he had. Who was the giver of these treasures? It wasn't his brother. It was God. These gifts that he wanted. Who was the giver? It wasn't his brother. It was God. What are the treasures that you most desire to store up? Was it his inheritance? It shouldn't have been. It should have been something more. It should have been his relationship with his brother. That's what was valued more. Do these things that we value reside here on earth? Or are they in heaven? The second table of the Ten Commandments concerns our relationships with our neighbors. Are we respectful in our relationships? Do we honor and respect our neighbors as ourselves? The commandments towards our neighbors shed light on our inner motivations and actions. And that's not just what we do, but it's also what we say. Not just what we say to people when they're listening to us and we're in front of them, but it's also what we say behind their backs, and it's also what we post on social media. This is the heart of the feuding brother's story. The relationship was the key, not the inheritance. Jesus did not want to get in the middle of this arbitrary process because the key was the relationship between the brothers. If Jesus stepped in the middle of that problem, he was stepping in the middle of two brothers who needed to come together. In closing this morning, our story about the feuding brother who was seeking self-justification reminds us that we might seek after Jesus for lessons or reasons that are less than life-giving. Why are we seeking Jesus today? Why are you seeking Jesus today? Is it honorable? Is it worthy? Or is it selfish? Is it self-seeking? Is it self-justifying? According to an old fable attributed to Aesop, a dog was carrying a bone as he crossed a bridge. He looked into the water and saw his own reflection in it. He took this to be another dog and another bone. He desperately wanted that other bone, so he dropped the one he had in his mouth to scare that other dog away. Of course, there was no other dog. There was no other bone. And he lost the one he had because he dropped it in the water. In the effort to get what we want, we frequently lose what we have. Let's not let our strive for self-justification lose our sight on our relationship with Christ and our relationship with others. Jesus gave the feuding brother who approached him with the simple answer that sometimes we all need to hear, but we don't like it. And that simple answer is no. No. And we don't like it. But that's what our Savior said. Let's pray. Father, thank you for reminding us through a simple story in Scripture, by an encounter with a brother who we don't even know the name, that sometimes we don't come to you for the right reasons. Father, may we be reminded that our relationship with you is priority number one, our relationship with others is priority number two, and that if we are trying to seek something else that distorts one or both of those, maybe we just need to hear the word no. Thank you for a lesson learned. Hopefully, it's something that we will apply. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time of closing today, as we think about the lesson that this brother hopefully learned, as we think about the lesson that we can apply to our life today, maybe for the first time we recognize that relationship with Christ is priority number one. It's priority number one for us, and you need to embrace Him for the first time. I'll be down front as we sing our closing hymn, Jesus Paid It All. If you need to embrace Him today, come and let me talk to you about what it means to embrace Him as your Savior. Maybe you're looking for a church family that seeks to honor Him through our actions, through our words, but most importantly with our relationship with Him and with each other. First Baptist Elon can be that home for you. Or maybe just today you've been struggling. Maybe you're struggling with something you've been seeking things for the wrong reasons. Maybe it's something that you just need to lay down at Christ's feet and say, God, I don't need to seek that anymore. Recognize that that's not where I'm supposed to be, or that I'm not where I'm supposed to be going. Maybe you just need to come to the altar. The altar's always open. It's His altar. It's not mine. Come pray. I'll pray with you as well. Pray in your seat. Whatever you need to do as we sing our closing hymn. Make that commitment today. Don't put it off. Let's stand and sing this morning.
Jesus.
place today. Know that we go into a world that needs direction. Find direction in Him and make sure you're seeking Him for the right reason, not the wrong reason. Go in peace this morning.